Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about brokenness and dependence on God, the breaking process, and how there is a time in our lives where we encounter a pivotal shifting, where we cross that line, where we learn to depend on God rather than our own strength and commit to it. And very often, it's not something we understand that we're going through. And this is not going through tough times. We all go through tough times. And we all may feel broken. But that doesn't necessarily mean that breaking is from God or that it's done the work that He requires. It can just as easily, brokenness can just as easily happen when everything is going fine. So it's not necessarily related to our circumstances. It often is, but not necessarily. And being broken is different than feeling broken. We can feel like we've come to the end of ourselves and still be fully depending on ourselves. So this is something, breaking is something that God does in His way, in His time, and very often it's only through the process of looking back and seeing a change, looking back and seeing, now I know how to depend on God. Now I am depending on Him, getting my life from Him. Now I understand. And what's interesting is over time, you can sometimes forget how difficult it is or was, because now you're on the other side. And we want to enjoy that. We want to understand that because through the breaking process, we are now on the other side and depending on Him, it is more truly who we are. We've still got flesh to deal with. We've still got our enemies to overcome. We're still learning to rule and reign. But being on the other side, that's where that freedom comes in. And so we want to enjoy what He has done in us and what He is allowing us to experience in Him. And again, this always goes back to why gratitude is such a mark of those who are experiencing dependent grace. As you know, you did not get yourself to the other side. You did not make it through yourself. God did it. And it wasn't other people. And in fact, they can often interfere with the breaking process. And we'll talk about that. But God got you through and made the changes He wanted to make. And now you're looking back. So why is breaking necessary? First, the breaking process reveals and convicts us or convinces us of our flesh. This is one of the reasons it's so personal, because He convicts you of your flesh, not flesh in general, but but what tactics, what methods are you using to try to control your life, to try to control your way of doing things, your needs met? Flesh is most evident when we are under stress. So the breaking process is most readily identifiable in overwhelming circumstances or a tragic crisis. Flesh is the evidence of what we turn to first. So during the breaking process, what we have been depending upon is exposed for what it is: corrupt, selfish, controlling, deadly, and totally opposed to who God is and who we are now. We see flesh for what it is. We see our flesh for what it is. Without this revelation, we cannot truly repent of our flesh. And that's what the repentance is that we go through now. It's not for sin. Our sin nature, it no longer exists. We've been changed. What we now repent of, turn from, is our flesh. Getting our needs met our way. We agree with God that our flesh cannot be tolerated. And we give him permission to do with it what he will. We also agree with him that the flesh is not us, but something we created to protect ourselves. It's armor. And we built up this armor to protect ourselves. But now that God is here, we depend on him to protect us. And so he removes our armor. We fight him on it. We want to keep the armor. It's done its job. But it's also keeping God out, and he will not allow that to happen. So he goes after it. There's only one thing in your life that God's going after, and that's your flesh. The devil's already been overcome. The world system's already been overcome. But it's your flesh that's keeping him from having his perfect way in your life. So he's on the attack. He will not tolerate it. So we, through the breaking process, we join him in that. We join him in knowing what the battle is and going after it. The breaking process reveals and convinces us of our new nature, our new identity. As the power of the flesh is broken in our lives, again, this is how personal this is, the rest of our being, our soul and our body, comes into alignment with our new spiritual nature. And the more freedom and oneness we experience, the more we embrace the truth about who and what we now are. It is through the breaking process, it is through the conviction of our flesh, we also receive the conviction of our new identity. We see our flesh as separate from us. And we recognize that flesh is not us, but that we are a new creation. We're new creatures in Christ. And we don't have any reason, any need for creating more flesh. Now, as we go through the process, we learn more and more how to let him do what he wants, how to cooperate with him, And as we do this, this is one of the strongest aspects of recognizing our new identity, to receive from Him everything He desires to give us. The freedom that comes, the rest, the peace, despite what can sometimes be agony through the breaking process. That we gut it out, that we go with Him in this process is all He asks. We can't help. And in our own strength, we may even try to cooperate, but He'll put it into that as well. And He makes us available to Him on His terms. Our confidence grows in who He is, in His love for us, and also in who we are, based not on head knowledge, but personal experience. We experience His love for us and how powerful and righteous He is in our own lives, not just on our behalf, but towards us, that He will not allow you and I to live less than what He has provided for us. You are His son. You are a joint heir with Christ. You are a co-inheritor right now, not a lesser inheritor, not a lesser heir. But everything He has for you is available to you right now. And in your spirit, you've received it. So through the breaking process, that becomes reality. He makes it reality. Not just in head knowledge, not just in trying to act like it, not trying to feel like it, but it becomes reality. The breaking process also teaches us dependence on Christ alone. It breaks our independence, not into codependence, but into dependence, receiving God's life on His terms. Independence is self-dependence, relying on our own self, our own strength. And that's broken. He does it. Not our thinking, not trying hard, not believing, but He does it. During the process, we'll try to grasp onto and hold onto those things that used to work. They used to provide stability and support, people, ideas, our own strength of soul, emotional. We may try to get ourselves to feel better. We might try to act like we're happy. We may try to just whatever it was that's always worked before will no longer work. During the process, one by one, God knows what the strongest thing is that you've been depending on, and He puts His finger on that. He pulls the rug out from everything you've been relying on. Your house of cards falls. He comes in. He not only starts a wind blowing where you're afraid those house of cards is going to fall, but He kicks the table out from under it. It all comes crashing down. When your things, your flesh fails, and they will, we resort to our beliefs and control methods that others use, or even those we think up ourselves. Like, if you've been trying something all along, a way of prayer, a way of you know, maybe you've got a certain prayer group that prays with you, and when they pray, you know, in the past, things have changed for you. Well, not anymore. It doesn't work this time. So maybe you think, well, maybe I need a new prayer group. Maybe I need to be prayed for by the church. Maybe I need to read more books. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So we, since what we have been working on and has worked in the past doesn't work, we try what we haven't tried in the past. We see what others do when they're under stress. And we try everything under the sun. But they will fail as well. We will read books. We'll go for counseling. We'll repent and fast and pray. Anything we can think of in order to bring us back to the place we were before the current crisis began. We don't want to change. Change is hard. And your flesh knows that this breaking process, even though it's not going to get rid of it altogether, but this releases its stronghold in your life. You're crossing over that 50-50 point where your flesh then will be without hope. There's no turning back. It's the point of no return, and your soul knows it. And it will fight for its life. Your flesh will fight for its life. Because your soul has always been in control. Your mind, your will, your emotions. You've probably even felt like you've been in control of God. So many people rely on their own beliefs. As long as I'm believing the right things, I know what to expect from God. I can get God to do what I want him to do. And his response is just not so fast. We don't want to go through the crisis. We want to control it and get out of it. And God says, this is what you must go through. Don't try to understand it. Just be there. Don't try to understand what's going to happen, why it's going to happen. Just be there. Just go through it. He'll teach you what you need to know on the other side. This is where that confidence comes from, that you've experienced his freedom because he's freed you. You've experienced his love because he's loved you. When we depend on him alone, when we're depending on God alone, then there's nothing else. And God alone is enough. There's that old saying, God is everything, but is he enough? We find out if that's true for us. If nothing changed in your life, would that be okay? Is God in your life enough? Or are you counting on him to do certain things in your life? To bring you healing, to restore your family, to give you strength so you can cope? What if he decides he doesn't want to, that that's not best for you? Is that okay? Well, through the breaking process, you find out what you really believe. The rubber hits the road, and only what is from him survives. Again, we try to find ways to get back to our usual place of coping, our usual methods we heard about this. This is how to get through this. This is, you know, the prayer and the fasting and reading scriptures and trying different things and worshiping. And we try to get back. But you've jumped off that cliff. There's no going back. And back is the last place God wants us to go. So he actually retreats. He steps back from us, waiting for us to expend our energy, waiting for us to give in, to acquiesce to his sovereignty, to his love for us, not only in theory, but now in reality. When we have been separated from that which we once relied on, God begins the process of bringing our soul and bodies into the same dependence our spirit is already experiencing. This is something that, again, each one of us must experience for ourselves. Trying to explain it just doesn't work. Your experience is going to be unique for you. And then looking back, you're going to go, that was so simple. When I was going through it, it was so complex and confusing. But now I just see he was just taking me past that point of no return. And when we get it, and sometimes we go, well, God, if you had just shown me that that's what you were doing, and then we realize we regret that because we would have liked to have controlled how much we cooperate with him. God wasn't looking for your cooperation. God wasn't looking for you at all. He was doing something sovereignly in your life. He didn't need your help. He didn't need your involvement. And when we realize that that's how he does things in our lives, he doesn't need our help. Because in your spirit, you're already there. You've already consented and are fully in agreement with him. We think our soul is so much. You know, our mind and will and emotions, they're what God is after. Well, he is after them, but only because they're part of you. And he's already got you, your spirit. The rest is icing on the cake. Your soul is the icing on the cake. Now he loves his icing and he loves his cake. And he wants you and is devoted to you becoming whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body. But he's loving you fully in the meantime, in your spirit. Your spirit doesn't need to be broken. That new nature is perfect. It's complete. It's done. It's not only on the other side, it's in the kingdom. In your spirit right now, you are in the kingdom. You don't need to get anywhere. You're there. You've arrived. But this breaking process makes you able to arrive in your soul as well. When we've been separated from that which we once relied on, God begins the process of bringing our soul and bodies into the same dependence our spirit is already experiencing. He's been kind of tweaking around the edges, giving us frame of reference for what he's going to do. Once we cross over that point of no return, that reality of how much, or shall we say, how little we have control over, brings us into that dependence and that relationship and that valuing of who God is and what he's doing in our lives, that appreciation and that acceptance unconditionally of what God gives us unconditionally. Now, the breaking process also proves God's love, his faithfulness, and his persistence toward us as an individual, you, towards you, his faithfulness and persistence toward you. We can say we know God is faithful and loving and patient, but until we experience the lengths he goes to in bringing us into a dependent relationship with him, we do not have a clear understanding of what these words mean. Until you've experienced his love, to say God loves me, to say God loves you, that's all it is words. We relate it to something we understand, we have experienced in our soul. But that's nothing compared to the reality of what his love, his faithfulness, his patience really is. But he's making us able to not only understand, but experience, to receive it. God values this breaking process because we are then able to receive him. It is through the breaking process that our souls, that your soul is stripped, and we stand naked before God without that armor. Now, instead of God condemning us for being naked, he clothes us with his own garments, his family robes. He gives us his own family crest. And he places his ring on our finger. He makes it known to us what our kingdom is, what we have access to, what our authority is. At last, we recognize that we have been changed from being friends and servants and bond slaves and forgiven sinners into his beloved sons. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You were for a millisecond, 2,000 years ago. But once you entered into him, you became a son of God. Part of his royal family. And it is through the breaking process that he makes us able to start living like it. This is why we talk about how our goal here on this earth is to learn to rule and reign. It's not that we are qualifying or trying to achieve some level of spirituality or skill level in order to deserve a calling or a mantle or a gifting, an anointing. No, now you are born into it. And God wants you to start using the resources he's given you. He's opened your armory, your treasury, your home. And he wants you to come in and make yourself at home. Learn how to use those weapons. Learn how to use that treasury. Learn how to be king in your kingdom. Rule, how to rule and reign, starting with your own resources, your own life, your own circumstances. That's what we're here for. And the breaking process makes that a reality to us. And through that, we commit not only to the breaking process, but to learning to rule and reign. We'll pick it up there next Monday. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow at 7:30. Until then, have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.